I wanted to know if anybody on the line would volunteer to be the one at 6 o'clock. I wanted to know if anybody online would volunteer to be the one to have everybody's phone numbers so they can be texted if we have another issue like yesterday. Because many people didn't get the new number and weren't able to get on and missed the second part of the Mishnah. So, if there's anybody there who would like to volunteer, that would be the one that everybody would text their number to and would be able to send out a mass text if anything happened like yesterday. Any takers? Is he on? What?
Maybe we should make the announcement again at the end of the show when everybody's here.
At this point, I still don't have a volunteer.
Baruch Moshe, can you hear me?
Well, yeah, now I can hear you. You'll do it?
Yes.
Okay, so give out your number now. And then at the end of the year, or towards the end of the year, we'll do it again, so everybody can hear and give your number. What is your number?
216-570-5069.
Fine.
Again, 216-570-5069.
Fine. If everybody could text Baruch Moshe, their number, and their name, obviously, and that way, if something like yesterday happened, we'd be able to avoid a repeat of yesterday that people couldn't get on. So I'm going to start a little bit back, because for those people who were here yesterday, I'm going to start a little bit back in the Mishnah, just so we can get to the last line. I'm going to start from Haisa Bitai, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th line from the top. On Bezim at Bez, Sechtes Yevamas. Haisa Bitai, Ayachas Mikol Araya Se'elu Nesuas V'achiv. If the daughter, Reuven's daughter, or any one of the other 14 Arayas, were married to Shimon, Belo Yisha Cheres, and Shimon had a second wife, Kshem She Bita Petura, Kach Tzuras Petura. This we learned, just like the daughter is Pater, so the co-wife becomes Pater. And therefore, she becomes an erva. Because there's no mitzvah of Yibum, she is considered a brother's wife without the mitzvah of Yibum, and any brother's wife without the mitzvah of Yibum is an erva. What happened if there was an other brother? So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven couldn't do Yibum to Shimon's wife because one of them was an erva, and one of them was a tzaris erva. Levi had no such iser. He had a mitzvah of Yibum. And he was miyabim, not Reuven's daughter, but the other wife. He did it perfectly legal. He was miyabim, his brother's wife. He chose to be miyabim, not Reuven's daughter, but the other wife. And then, v'lo yishachares, Levi has his own wife, umeis. So now he has two wives. And they both go to Reuven for Yibum. Now there's no erva directly, but one of these women were once a tzaras erva, and at that point became forbidden to Reuven, never to become permissible again. So therefore she not only has no mitzvah Yibum on her, but there's no mitzvah Yibum on her co-wife, which is the co of the co of the erva, the tzaras tzara. Kshem she tzaras bita petura, kach tzaras tzaras petura afil heimeya. We mentioned earlier in the Mishnah that if Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter and to a different wife, and Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter and to a different wife, and Reuven's daughter predeceased her husband. That means when the time Shimon died, he was not married to Reuven's erva. That marriage had terminated. Right? He had divorced her. She had died. She was found to be an islandess, right? She had done miyun if she was a ktana. Any way that the marriage was terminated prior to Shimon's death. So in that case, at the time of Shimon's death, Shimon's wife is not a tzaras erva. She once was, but not at the time of Yibum. By the time the Yibum kicked in, the erva was gone, was out of this marriage. Either had died, gotten divorced, Shimon was not married to her anymore. That means only one woman is following the Yibum, and there's no erva involved. Therefore, Tzareseya Mutaris. What's the case? His daughter or any of the Arabs was married to his brother. But instead of the man dying first and leaving over Reuven's daughter and another wife, Reuven's daughter died first or got divorced. So by time, and then Shimon died. So by time Shimon died, the wife of Shimon was no longer a Tzaras Erva. Tzaras Mutaras, there is a mitzvah of Yibum, and it is permissible to do Yibum, and it's obligated to do Yibum or Chalitza. That's as far as we got yesterday. Now the last line of the Mishnah. Let me set up the case. Shimon married Reuven's daughter rabbinically. That means there was no biblical marriage. She was an 11-year-old girl. She married herself off. We explained yesterday that the way she could marry herself off, even though her father is alive, is because she was married once by her father, and once the father married her off once, he doesn't have rights anymore. So she married herself off rabbinically to Shimon. And she's married to Shimon rabbinically. Shimon has a different wife that's married to him biblically. So Shimon is married to two wives. One of them biblically, one of them rabbinically, who happens to be Reuven's daughter. And then Shimon dies. Reuven should be able, biblically, to do Yibum to Shimon's wife, because as far as the Torah is concerned, biblically, he's not married to Reuven's daughter. So the other woman is not a Tzaras Erva. There is no marriage to Reuven's daughter, biblically. She's an 11-year-old girl. But by the same token, if we let him do Yibum, he's rabbinically marrying a Tzaras Erva, because rabbinically, Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter. So we're caught now in a quandary. Is there a mitzvah of Yibum? Biblically, yes. Rabbinically, no. So what do we do? We can't let the woman go free, because biblically, she is obligated to have either Yibum or Chalitza. We can't let her have Yibum, because rabbinically, she's a Tzaras Erva. Zok the Mishnah. V'chol ha-yechayla l'moyen. Any Erva of Reuven's that had the ability to do miyun, but below miyunah, she did not exercise it. So she's rabbinically married to Shimon at the time of Shimon's death. She could have walked out of the marriage, but she hadn't. Tzarasa chaletzas, below misyavemis. We obligate chalitza, because biblically, there is no tzaras erva. But we can't allow yibum, because rabbinically, it is a tzaras erva. So this is the first time we've met, splitting yibum and chalitza. Till now, Yibum and Chalitza went together. When there's a mitzvah of Yibum, you do Chalitza if you want to. When there's no mitzvah of Yibum, there's no need of Chalitza. Here we have a mitzvah of Yibum biblically, but rabbinically, we can't allow it. So here we split Yibum and Chalitza. We say, Chalitza is not going to hurt anybody, so therefore, do Chalitza. Yibum is going to be a Tzaras Erva Drabanan. We can't allow a Tzaras Erva Drabanan to have Yibum. So therefore we say, no Yibum, but yes Chalitza. Rashi. Zot Rashi, V'chol ha-yechayla l'moyen, kigan, sha-erva k'tana, v'yechayla l'moyen, the erva, I picked daughter, but it could be any erva, was a k'tana, and had the ability to do miyun, but v'loy miyuna, she did not exercise it. Umeis achiv, hayo v'kdusha eina l'midrabanon, her kedushin is only rabbinic. And her obligation of Yibum, meaning her being bound to her husband's brother, is only rabbinic at best, because she's only married rabbinically. She cannot absolve her co-wife from Chalitza. But Asura, but we won't let Yibum, because of a farish time of the Gemara, Shiniris Tzaras Erva, because to the eye it looks like she's a Tzaras Erva. Rabbinically, she's a Tzaras Erva. Biblically, she's not a Tzaras Erva. So therefore, we say we don't allow Yibum. Now, the reason Rashi uses the word Niris Tzaras Erva, she looks like a Tzaras Erva. Why didn't Rashi say, like I said, she is a rabbinic Tzaras Erva? Because Rashi is trying to answer a question. Let her do miyun now. Let her say, I'm out of this marriage now. meaning even though her husband died, but she's bound to his brother rabbinically, let her walk out of that bind. Like she could walk out of her marriage, let her walk out of her Zika, out of her being, and therefore, she'll be gone, and she'll be out of the picture. She'll have retroactively annulled the marriage. Because anytime there's miyun, the woman just walks out, and it's like they were never married. So let her do it now. The answer is, even if she does it now, it looks like it's Tzaras Erva. Because at the time of the brother's death, she, to the world, was Shimon's wife. Even though now, she's walking out of the Zika, people will say, hello, when Shimon died, she was married to him. How can Reuven do Yibum to his wife, to the other woman? So therefore, Chazal said, no Yibum, but yes Chalitza.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi?
Yes.
My question is going to be vague, but this is just too slippery for me. Yibum, Chalitza is a biblical decree. Yibum is a biblical decree. No. We have something called a rabbinic marriage here, but is this a rabbinic Chalitza, or is this a biblical
No,
Chalitza?
We're not doing Chalitza. We're not doing Chalitza to the daughter. We're doing Chalitza to the co-wife, which was a biblical marriage. Shimon was married to two women. To one woman, he was married biblically. To the other woman, who happened to be Reuven's daughter, he was only married rabbinically. So Reuven's daughter is out, because she's Reuven's daughter, she's an Erva. The question becomes, the other wife, who had Reuven's daughter been married biblically to Shimon, would have been a Tzaras Erva, a co-wife of an Erva. But here, it was only a rabbinic marriage, so it wasn't a real co-wife. It was rabbinically, but it wasn't biblically. So what do we do with this woman? Can't let her go free. She was married to Shimon, and she's really not a Tzaras Erva biblically. There was no other wife. She was the only wife. But we can't have it look Yibum, because look at her. She had a different wife who was an Erva, as far as everybody sees. So we say, let her have Chalitza, which takes care of the biblical obligation, without getting involved in transgressing any rabbinic co-wife.
Okay, now that clarifies a part of this for me, but I still don't understand how we can decouple the concept. If Chalitza is the antidote for Yibum, how can you decouple them? It's just slippery for me. Either she is or she isn't. I don't know how one can be the antidote for something, a biblical remedy can work for something that is a rabbinic issue.
Let me try to explain myself. Maybe I didn't explain myself well. Biblically speaking, Reuven could do Yibum to that other wife of Shimon. He could be Miyabim her. There would be no problem biblically. She is his brother's wife. His brother had no other biblical wife. Therefore, she's totally eligible for both Yibum or Chalitza, whatever Reuven decides to do. Now, the Rabbanon have an issue, because by doing Yibum, he'll be transgressing a rabbinic law. But the rabbinic law can't remove the biblical obligation. So since Reuven has an option biblically to do A or B, we tell him, do B and stay out of rabbinic problem. Because biblically you could do A or B, and you're right. You can't separate the two biblically. If biblically one doesn't apply, the other one doesn't apply. We'll have cases later on that's not that way, but if biblically one doesn't apply, the other one doesn't apply either. The question is, but biblically they both apply here. The Rabbanon don't allow him to do one of the two options. But it's a rabbinic prohibition. Biblically he has every right. If he would go ahead and do it, he wouldn't get chorus. He did a mitzvah of Yibum. Except the Rabbanon don't want him to do it because it runs into a rabbinic problem. So they can separate the two, because the biblically he could do either or, they're telling him, we're locking you into one of those two options.
So all we're really saying here is biblically we are permitted, it's not that we're mixing and matching, we're saying that for the co-wife, we can invoke one, and here just Chalitza, we can do that, because we're not mixing and matching rabbinic and biblical here. For her,
biblical both apply.
Right.
That's the limitation of. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you. Rabbi?
Yes.
Is there a difference to a Yibum or a Chalitza? Supposing there's another brother that has no issues, would that be Kaidim the Chalitza of this Ruvain?
There'll be a sugya later on in Vamis. Again, the Mishnah says, Mitzvah Yibum Kaidemis Lemitzvah Chalitza. Yibum is a preference over Chalitza. However, there was a Mandi Amar we mentioned yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago, that says, we encourage Chalitza, not Yibum, because of the bordering, the erva, meaning if he does it for the wrong intent, he's playing along with an erva. So that's going to be a machloikas tanoim, whether we encourage, meaning Reuven can do, let's say in a regular case, the brother can do whatever he wants. What do we encourage him to do? So the Mishnah says we encourage him to do Yibum, because that's the preference of the Torah. Because the Torah clearly states, do Yibum, and if you don't want to do Yibum, then we have Chalitza. But it's not our preference. If you read the Pesukim, it's clear. Yibum is the preference, Chalitza is the way out. If you ask, what does the Torah want? Yibum. The Pasuk says that we call the guy a name for not doing Yibum. Beis Chalutzanal. We like call him out a name forever. At the time of Chalitza, we say, you messed it up. You didn't do what you were supposed to. That's what the Torah says. Abishol is the name of the Tana who comes along and says, that was good when people did things l'shem Shemayim. But in our generation, Abishol says, that ulterior motives set in, he thinks Chalitza is the preferred way. Because since it is in essence an erva, and the Torah allowed it, only if you do it for the right motive. I mean, again, the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah wants you to do it for the right motive. If you're doing it for the wrong motive, you're playing around, you're bordering doing an erva. You're not doing an erva because you have permission to do it, but that's not what the Torah wanted. And the other Mandi Amar says, the Torah said, do Yibum, the Torah didn't care about your motive. That's the Machloikas. So, your question, does the other brother, Yibum, take preference over this brother's Chalitza? According to the Rabbanan, yes. According to Abishol, Bizman Hazeh, meaning in his time already, no. But in the time of the Torah, where people were more motivated L'Shem Shemayim, everybody agrees that the Torah's preference is Yibum.
And another question. Earlier in the Mishnah, we talked about Mesu. If the erva dies before the husband dies, the tzara is mutter.
Right.
Because
he's not a tzara. Because at the time of death.
Right.
Right.
What about a chois ishta, where it comes mikayach his own wife? So two brothers married two sisters. So he can't marry that brother's wife because it's his wife's sister. What if the wife dies? His own wife dies after the brother dies. Now, is that tzara mutter to him?
No, because we look at the time of death. Everything is decided at the moment of the death of the brother. Whatever exists then remains permanent. Meaning we don't say that things change once Shimon died. At the time of Shimon's death, was this woman permissible? If the answer is no, she doesn't become permissible ever. Because there's no mitzvah.
His own wife died prior. Own wife died prior to his brother's death, then she would be mutter.
Correct.
Okay. Rebbe.
Yes.
When we have a klal mitzvah srifas kavana, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We don't see anybody. You know, there's this whole thing, the Laman Yedu, whatever it is, three places, eight places, whatever it is. We don't see anybody, like, saying, well, it's not anymore, we're not differentiating, meaning, why over here are we making a big thing out of it?
Making a big thing out of it because it's Eishes Ach. The Torah went and took a lady that's an Erva. Under any circumstances besides Yibum is an erva. And said, here it's not an erva. But Abishol is saying, really she is an erva that we allow, right? And therefore done the wrong way, You're playing with an erva. No other case that I can think of is the mitzvah doing something that under other circumstances is prohibited. Here, this is an act that should be prohibited because it's his brother's wife. And that's one of the ervas mentioned in the Torah. But over here, the Torah made it a mitzvah. So the Torah made a fine exception to the erva. Abishol feels that that exception requires the right motivation. If it doesn't have the right motivation, you're playing, he didn't say you get karas, you don't get karas. But you're playing with something that's really an erva, and we don't like that. That's what he's saying. Now we're going to get there, the Gemara's going to discuss him, so I think we should leave it for there. By the way, just as an aside, it's a machloikis v'halocha had a paskin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, the mitzvah yibum comes first. Svardim used to do yibum, because that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that we do yibum regardless of motivation. And therefore, Svardim used to do mitzvah of yibum. In fact, even in the time when one couldn't marry two wives by the Svardim, which was before 1240, or even afterwards, according to some, you could marry Yibum because that Yibum overrode the Isser of having two wives. That's what they held. Whereas Ashkenazim, the Ramah, paskins that Mitzvah Chalitza comes first. Therefore, in Ashkenazi communities, you don't hear of Yibum. In Sephardi communities, I don't know if today, but once upon a time, they did Yibum. They married their brother's wife. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Ramah, who we go by, Ashkenazim, I assume I have only Ashkenazim in the shir, he paskins that Chalitza goes first, therefore we don't allow Yibum, or we discourage Yibum, or we're not big on Yibum, and for sure not as a second wife. Now there'll be cases that there are exceptions, as we will go through the Masechta, we will hit them, but that's the basic Machloikas, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, Sephardim and Ashkenazim. Okay, Zakti Gemara, Michdi, let us see. Now, the Gemara is bothered by the order of the Arayas. We listed 15 Arayas in the Mishnah. As we will learn in the coming letter, the source that a Tzaras Erva is prohibited to Yibum, or that an Erva is prohibited to Yibum, meaning without a Pasuk, why don't we say, a person's allowed to marry his brother's wife, that's an erva, so who cares if she's an other erva as well? The Torah is waving erva in front of Yibum. Teretz says, we learn now from a pasuk written by a wife's sister, that there's no mitzvah of Yibum, nor is a co-wife allowed to have Yibum. And that's learned out from a pasuk written by a wife's sister. That's the source of the halacha by all the arayas. And the Gemara is going to explain how we learn it out, and how we... by all arayas. But that's the source. So why shouldn't that be listed first in the Mishnah? Why isn't that the first erva listed? That's the source of this halacha. Why is she, achayis ishtai, put towards the end of the list? It should be at the beginning of the list. That's the source of the halacha. Michdi. Achayis isha, kulum achayis isha, yafinan. We all learn it out, achayis isha. Listen to achayis isha bereisha. So why isn't Achayis Isha listed first? That should be the first erva listed. Rashi. Migdi, Kulu, Arayas, Mashapaturus min Ayibum, the fact that there is no mitzvah Yibum by an erva. Because you could make an argument that Torah waived erva in the place of Yibum. It did it for a brother's wife. Maybe he should do it for everything else as well. The answer is we have a pasuk by a wife's sister where it says explicitly that we don't waive erva in the place of Yibum. So that's the source for all arayas. So if that's the case, why isn't that first? V'chi teima, and if you're going to answer, Tana chumra chodemutani, not good, that the Torah likes to write the stricter punishments first, the arayas that have stricter punishments, which are the first nine arayas listed in the Mishnah, which is his daughter and his granddaughters, his wife's daughter and her granddaughters, his mother-in-law and grandmother's-in-law, those nine ervas get sreifa. The other six ervas listed in the Mishnah only get karas. Right? Those nine, Bezin kills the guy for. Sreifa. The other six is only Karis. So maybe the Mishnah wanted to list the stricter ones first, right? The ones that get Sreifa. Now, the truth is, there's a problem, because a daughter-in-law, which is one of the six, gets Skila. And that's usually the strictest. So if you would go by strictness, daughter-in-law should come first, not the nine. Number 15, which is the daughter-in-law, that's the strictest of all. That's a chi of skila. So we get out of that by saying, and it's going like Rav Shimon who says, Sreifa is stricter than skila. So we have a few problems. Number one is, it should say mother-in-law and grandmothers-in-law first. Why? The ikus reifa b'chamayis eksiva. The Torah wrote the punishment by mother-in-law, and we derive from there to daughters and granddaughters through exer shava. But the Torah wrote the punishment of sreifa by mother-in-law and grandmothers-in-law. We derive from a drasha that daughters and wives' daughters and granddaughters also get sreifa. But the main sreifa is written by chamaisai. So if you're going to go by strictness, by stringencies, strictness, we should list chamaisai first and the grandmothers-in-law, then switch over to daughters. Not have daughters and wives' daughters first and then chamaisai. Right? So list the chamaisai bereisha, the ikus sreifa, that's question number one. V'yayid, if you're going by strictnesses, Basra Chamaisa Lisni Kalasai, the one after mother-in-law should be daughter-in-law. Because that's Skila. The other ones are only Karis. The Bas is Sreifa Skila Chamura. Right? Nine are Sreifa, one is Skila, and five are Karis. So, it should be, you want to list the nine Sreifa first, I get it. Then right afterwards you should list the Skila, then the other five. You left the Skila to the last one on the list. Rashi. So Rashi, Reb Shimon, Dama, Reperi, Dawad, Mises, Sreifa, Chamura. Ulochi, Toni, Reisha, Bitoi, Bas, Bitoi, Kulu, all the ones, Ad, Eim, Chamav, to grandmother-in-law, Bisreifa. The Torah writes, if you marry a woman and her mother, you take a woman and her mother, you get fire. Second of all, kalasa b'skila, the parent dal mises, that's in the Mishnah Sanhedrin. B'chala shara rayas, the other five, the masnisan, einam b'mises bezin, don't get any death by bezin, ela b'karis. So what's bothering the Gemara is, what's the order of our Mishnah? Why is the Mishnah in that order? Zog de Gemara ela bitoi kivin da asya midrasha chavivalei. Since bitoi is derived from a drasha, the fact that she has no yibum is derived from learning it out from a wife's sister. We like to list things that are from drashas. And therefore, we list the daughter before wife's sister. Not because of stringency, but because we learn it out from a drasha. It's not explicit. We like to list things that we learn out from a drasha more than the explicit things. So therefore, we didn't list wife's sister first, even though that's the source, because we like to list what we derive before we list the source. Rashi, even the asim midrasha li asar olav, chaviva le latana v'agdim ibereisha. The Tana likes that better, and he puts it first. The problem is, kulunami midrasha asa. All 14 are learned out of achayis isha. Why'd you pick bitai? I mean, you're right. You want to put wife's sister last. Got it. First of all, you didn't do that. But even if you did, fine. But why'd you pick Bitai? Right? Why is that first? 14 drushas are learned, 14 Ervas are learned out from a drusha. So therefore, why exactly did you go in the order that you went? That's the question. So why is Bitai the one that Tana chose to do first? Now once he did Bitai, he did get the granddaughters. Got it. But why did he do Bitai first? Because it's derived from Achais Isha from Adrasha? So are the other 14. Answer the Gemara, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry?
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi?
Yes.
last night when I was reviewing with Dr. Harris, Rashi says Bito is Mi'anusaso.
Right.
So that when I saw that, I was momish. I couldn't even continue learning. That's like so much of a chiddush to me. You know what I mean?
Why? It's his biological daughter.
But it wasn't a. It wasn't a regular marriage.
Again, stop for a second. Why is Bitai an Erva?
It's under the category of a regular Bito is like Isha Bito, right?
Right. But I'm asking you, Bitai means his biological daughter. Who cares who the mother is?
Okay.
Why is that such a chiddush to you? It's incest.
I mean,
isn't this incest?
Insects, I mean, in whatever, it doesn't make a difference, but the point I'm serious, what I'm trying to say is that everything else is through marriage. This is through something not marriage. To me, this is the biggest chiddush that there is.
I don't see it again. I'm not going to argue with you, but I just don't see it as a chiddush.
I'm not going to argue further.
Okay. You'll see in a minute that... Okay, we'll see. And for the Gemara, there's a big difference between Bitai and all other Arayas. And that is as follows. The Torah never wrote that a person can't live with his daughter if she's not his wife's daughter. It's not written in the Torah. The Torah said a person can't live with his granddaughter. It never mentions Bitai. It mentions his wife's daughter, but it never mentions his own biological daughter that's not his wife's daughter. It's learned out from a drasha. The whole concept, the whole fact that a daughter gets karis, gets sreifa, from living with her husband, with her father. A father gets sreifa for living with his biological daughter who's not from marriage, is not explicit in the Torah. The Torah writes explicitly that you can't marry your wife's daughter, whether she's your daughter or not. The Torah also writes explicitly that you can't marry your granddaughters, whether they are from a wife or not. The Torah never mentions daughters. And we don't make kal v'chomers to punish. Ein anshim en adin. We never can derive a punishment from a kal v'chomer. Where do we learn that you can't live with your daughter, and if you do, there's a punishment of sreifa? It's all learned out from a drasha. Therefore, the Tana liked the erva of Bitoi first, because the whole erva is derived from a drasha. Not just the part of Yibum, the whole Isser erva of Bitoi is derived from a drasha. Because Nehidil Inyan Yibum Asim Midrasha. The other 14 are derived from a drasha vis-a-vis Yibum. But Iker Sharaya Behedik Sibahu. But the fact that they're prohibited to the man is written in the Torah. Bitai Iker Isura Midrasha. The whole Isser comes from Midrasha. The Amar Rava, Amar Li Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Asya Heina Heina, Gzeira Shavav Heina, Asya Zima Zima. Two Gzeira Shavas, that's how we learn that a bitoy is prohibited, and that the punishment is sreifa. So since the whole erva is derived from a drasha, the Tana decided to put it first. He likes to mention things that are derived from drashas before things that are explicit. And this is the one out of the 15 ervas that's not explicit. Therefore, it goes first. Rashi. Ikri Sarayu Shasuru Mishim Erva Bachomakum Behedik Sibu. For all others, it's written explicitly. Ababita Manisasa Dayaba Masnisim, Ikri Sura Midrasha Asya. The Ikri Isser comes to Midrasha. Asya Heina Heina Li Sura, Asya Zima Zima Lisraifa. The Bitoi Me Ishtai, his wife's daughter, became Bas Bitoi or Bas Benai, or his own, and granddaughters, Yalva Maribas Isha Bita Le Sigale, says don't marry a woman and her daughter. His biological daughter that came from a marriage is his wife's daughter. A daughter born to him through wedlock is not mentioned. The Siv Ervas Isha Ubita, the Lashon Ishus, Ayide Kedusha Mashma, Ishus means through a marriage. However, granddaughters, even through out of wedlock, b'haikra, eves bas bincha or bas bitcha, v'hocha loshin ishus like siv. In the pasuk that prohibits granddaughters, there's one pasuk that says, don't marry a woman and her daughter and her granddaughters. There's another pasuk that says, don't marry your granddaughters. And in that one, it doesn't say a word about marriage. But v'akati bita like siv hocha. But it doesn't say daughters, it says granddaughters. Now you can make a kal v'chaymer. But we don't make kal v'chaymers to give people punishments. In the pasuk of granddaughters, which is talking about out of wedlock, it says the word heina. And it says by a daughter of a wife, sheira heina. They are your relatives. Ma hasam bitoy kabas bitoy. By a wife's daughter is like her granddaughter. Afkan bitoy kabas bitoy. Just like by a wife's daughter, the Torah equated a wife's daughter and granddaughters, and it uses the word heina there. So the Zereshava handed from Sinai, we don't make up our own Zereshavas. It's handed down from Sinai that his own daughter is like his own granddaughters. And there is a pasuk for his own granddaughters. Therefore, since there's a pasuk for his own granddaughters, that asers, we learn now from Gzeirah Shava, that his daughters are aser as well. That's Gzeirah Shava number one, of Asya Heina Heina. That Gzeirah Shava told us that there's a prohibition for a person to marry, to have a relationship with his biological daughter, even though she's not his wife's daughter. Because the Torah banned him from his biological granddaughters. The Torah banned him from his wife's daughter and granddaughters. And there's Heino on both of those psukim to teach me that his own biological daughter also is included in Arayas. Asti zima zima l'sreifa. And we learn now from another Gzeirah Shava that the punishment is sreifa. Ksiv ha'ocha bebita mi'ishtoi zimahi. By a daughter's, his wife's daughter, it says Zima. It doesn't say Sreifa by a wife's daughter, just says the word Zima. Simba Sreifa, Zima he. And by a mother-in-law, where it does say Sreifa, it uses the same word Zima. And it says, Be'esh Yisreifu burn them. So we learn now from Zima, from mother-in-law, to wife's daughter, that it's Sreifa. And once we learn now from wife's daughter it's Sreifa, this Zerah Shava passes it on to his own daughter. So it's a double Gzeirah Shava. We learn out Sreifa from mother-in-law to wife's daughter, and then we learn out Sreifa from wife's daughter to his own biological daughter. So it's all built on Drasha. Since it's all built on Drasha, the first one he mentioned was Bitai. That's why that goes first. And once he married Bitai, he mentioned granddaughters and his wife's daughters and his wife's granddaughters and his wife's mothers and grandmothers. Frek the Gemara, but we haven't answered our question completely. Because Hashda the Amrit called Milsa the Asim and Drasha Chavivalei. Now that you say that he loves Drashas, so listen to Achais Isha Besaif. So why shouldn't Achais Ishtai be at the end? That should be the last one. Okay, so Bitai is the best one, because that's all Drasha. So Achais Ishai, which is no Drasha, should be number 15. It's not number 15. I believe it's number 12. It's number 12. Why is it number 12? It should be at the end. You say Drashas, he likes Drashas. So if he likes Drashas, Achais Isha should be number 15. Zog the Gemara, because I did the Iri B'Issarach Vasa. Since he was right before that, he was talking about his sister, his mother's sister, right? It was mentioning sisters, so we threw in Tana Achais Ishtai. You're right. Really, Achais Ishtai should be last. But since we were talking sisters, right, we said his sister, his mother's sister, so we threw in his wife's sister. It's in the categories of sisters. Let the category of sisters be the last category. Let's list, right, the sister's category at the end, that way wife's sister can be number 15. Zamta Gemara, Tana Kurva Kurva Nuk. The reason for the order is by the closer relationships. Tana Bitoy Bas Bitoy Bas Benoy Dekrei Ve'atzmai. The first thing that Tyra mentioned was his own biological children and grandchildren. They are the closest to him. Now the truth is, next should be his sister. because she's the closest to him afterwards. She's his blood relative. But since we mentioned daughters and granddaughters, I did the Tanur Shloisha Dairis Lamata Didei. Since we're mentioning three generations, daughter and granddaughters, meaning him, daughter and granddaughters, so we mention his wife's daughter and granddaughter, even though they're not biologically related to him. But once we're talking about daughters, we threw in the other case of daughters. So we broke our rule. We want to list relatives first, the closest relatives first. Closest relatives are blood relatives. The closest of the blood relatives are his own daughter and granddaughter. Right? But once we mention daughters, we say, oh, there's other daughters involved too, which is wife's daughter and wife's granddaughters. But I did the Tanish Shloisha Dairis Lamata Dida. Once you mentioned wife's daughters and granddaughters, Tanish Shloisha Dairis Lamata Dida, it mentioned wife's mother and grandmother, which is similar to wife's daughters and granddaughters. Then Tana Chaisai, the next closest relative, is his blood sister, his sister. Vachois Imai, the next closest relative, is his mother's sister. It's also a blood relative. Right, the Kravei Atzmai. These are his biological relatives. The Aydin Ayrib Yisr Achva, once we said sisters, so we dropped, right, now there are no more blood relatives. We're finished with all blood relatives. Right, his daughters and granddaughters, and then we diverted and went to her daughters, her daughters and granddaughters, and her mother and grandmother. Then we went back to relatives, and sister and mother, sister are the only other two blood relatives. So now we're going to go through relatives through marriage. We're talking about sisters. Since it was talking about sisters, so we threw in wife, sister. Now, we're finished with blood relatives. Now we're going to relatives through marriage. We mentioned wife's sister, because that's sister, so we mentioned her first. Now which one should go first? Daughter-in-law or brother's wife? Maternal brother's wife. Truth is, daughter-in-law is a closer relative. It's his son's wife rather than his brother's wife. It's a closer relative. It's not blood relative, but it's a closer blood relative's wife. So really, ubedinhu the ligdimei lekalasai mikame eishes sagam shloheh b'olamai. He should really say kalasai next before talking about the two brothers' wives, the maternal brother's wife and the brother that he never lived in the same world. Elai d'ayir b'ser achva, since we were talking about how does this work? Since we were talking about brothers, a relative of, we were talking about sisters, right? So sisters and brothers are similar. So we go from sisters to brothers. Tana Eishes Sagam Shloheh B'Olamai. So it listed two of them, really. Maternal brother's wife, and the brother who he never lived in the same world with. And therefore, v'hadir tani kalasai. So the order of the Mishnah is derived by closeness of relationships, except we divert whenever there's a similarity. So the closest relative is daughter, so we move on from daughter to granddaughters, those are the closest three. Oh, you mentioned daughters, we divert out of blood relatives to other cases of daughters and cases of mothers. When we finish that, we go to the next closest relative, his sister, his mother's sister. You're talking sisters? Wife's sister. You're talking sisters and brothers? Because that's very close. So we talk about brothers. And that leaves daughter-in-law to last, even though technically speaking, she is a much closer relative than both wife's sister and brother's wife, because she is his son's wife. Rashi. Listen, Yachais Isha Lebesaitz, the Kulu Mina Yofi. We learn everything out of it. Then you Ptur Yibun Lekaman. Lahai Bava, Kol Isha Achvasa, listen Lebesaitz. List all sisters at the end. The Yagdim Kalose Lachaisai. Have his daughter-in-law, who is, right, should come first, right, that before his sisters, because we want to leave sisters at the end. At this point, we would want Achais Isha to be last. The answer is Kurvi Kurvi, Hanuk the Karvli Tvei Nakam Bereisha. Closer relatives go first. Not because of Drasha, we're dropping that answer. We're not doing it because of Drasha, we're doing it because it's closer relative. The krayvi atzmai ve'ein bekulin krayvis kelu. There's no one closer than a daughter and a granddaughter. Lamata di da de ishtai. So then we switch to her daughters. It's not because of his asir le. It could be somebody else's daughters. It's not his daughters. It's his wife's daughters. But it's daughters. And once we mention daughters, we go lamayla di da, which is chamaitse, mother-in-law. Lamayla di day lamatsi lamisni midi. You can't mention his mother. It's impossible that his mother should have yibum. Because his brother can't marry his mother. Meaning his paternal brother can't marry, Shimon can never marry Reuven's mother because it's his father's wife. And if it's his father's wife, it's an erva to him that Kedushin is nachal. So Reuven will never have a case when Shimon was married to his mother. Even if Shimon had a different mother, but it's his father's wife. And if it's his father's wife, how could he have ever marriage? You will never have a case of Yibum. Yibum requires a legal marriage. There can never be a legal marriage between Reuven's mother and Shimon. They are closer than a relative, than a daughter-in-law. The kalasa rak pravasi, a daughter-in-law, he's not a blood relative. She comes through marriage. The law mishum korvah huda aser, because none of them are blood relatives. The climate. The kibin the krayvim nakid vazel. You're going by order of relatives. The kalos of aishas akam shalay balama, aishas akam ima law mishum korvah didei huda aser and lay. None of the three, not the daughter-in-laws and not the two brothers' wives, are aser as blood relatives. But didn't the listening kalos and mekame aishas akam shalay balama, mekame aishas akam ima. Daughter-in-law should go first, not me. From the kalos of chamira trei minayu. It's stricter. Once it's not blood relatives, Rashi says he should have done it because of Chumrah. I said, I made a mistake. I said it's because it's his son's wife. Right? Because there's no blood relatives anymore. And the answer is, we were talking about sisters, we went to brothers. We talked about brothers, finished our brothers, and then we went to the last one left, which is Kalasi. So now, we have told us why the 15 Ervas are in the order that they are. They're in the order that they are because we go by blood relatives first. We diverted to her daughters and her mother, went back to blood relatives, was talking about sister, we threw in his wife's sister. Now we're out of blood relatives, but brothers are similar to sisters, so they go first. Kalosa is the one left out at the end, and that's number 15, and that's the reason for the order of the Mishnah. Okay. Right. I would like to ask again at the end of this.
Ravi?
Yes.
Ravi?
Yes.
I mean, when I was reviewing this, I mean, to me, Aishas Achiv, Shloya Bolomo, is the most incredible Kiddush. I mean, yesterday we had all these problems.
You know what, Avram, can I just do one thing? Avram, I'm going to lose people. I want to take care of this before. Everybody should please text their phone number to Baruch Meisha Kleinman, whose number is Baruch Meisha.
216-570-5069.
In order that if we have a case like we had yesterday, that we have another number, he should be able to send out a massive text to everybody, a group text, so everybody should get the new number, which didn't happen yesterday. Thank you. Now, yes, Avram, what's your question?
I just create a group me. Maybe I'll just create a group me. It's like a poor man's WhatsApp. You know, fine. I have a simple phone, and it's very effective.
Okay, fine. Yes, Avram, what's your question?
Well, I mean, isn't, of all the drushas, isn't Achish